Did you enjoy that Super Bowl last night?
I mean, I feel like it's almost at this point kind of like a cliche to say that it was boring.
I'd have to agree with that.
It was pretty fucking awful.
There were more.
But if anyone has been following this National Football League season, they would have known that going into this one.
Yeah, there were more combined goals in Barca and Valencia than the Rams scored points.
Very true. There were quite a lot of salty soccer people on Twitter talking about what games had more scores than the Super Bowl.
Did you see a Leverkusen's tweet?
Yes, I certainly did.
Loved it.
Yes, we do like them. Especially memorable, if for nothing else, than the Yano Black double save a couple years ago.
That's throwing it back.
Absolutely. I mean, I still love that, everything about that clip. I can't believe that game, even to this day.
He made 3 saves in about 4 seconds. Just, it's still incredible.
And all of them, like, damn near impossible saves, so.
And then the fourth shot, the follow-up by Chicharito, almost went in. It just rolled past the line.
I didn't feel as happy as I do now thinking about that. I was mightily stressed out, I think. But
yes. Wow. Yeah, good times. Very good times. Well, we didn't see very many good times on Sunday, however,
when
Atleti traveled to Betis. We're not going to do the whip around because we have a lot of Colt Schnero Chad Amigo questions to get to. But we are going to look at the top 6 and how they did this weekend. Barca and Valencia drew 2-2. Barca are still atop the table. They're now 6 points clear of Atletico, who lost 1-0 to Betis on Sunday afternoon. Real Madrid, yeah, they won 4 in a row. They're going to be in good form entering the derby. They beat Alaves by 3-0. Sevilla are in 4th. They lost to a not-so-good Celta team at Balaidos. They lost 1-0. They have 1 win in their last 6. They're getting tired. Getafe, they are in 5th. They drew this past match day against, who did they draw? Levante. Yes, it was that goalless draw the early game Saturday. I did not catch that game because it was a 4 a.m. kickoff.
The two most boring teams in the history of the league.
And finally, Alaves, as I mentioned, they lost to Real Madrid by 3-0. Betis are 7th. They're not in the top 6, but they won anyway on Sunday. We're going to frame this pod a little bit differently. We're not going to talk so much about the game, but we're going to answer questions about the game and about related topics, and we'll just make our way around the Benito Villamarin until we feel like we've had enough.
Sounds good to me.
Rob, general thoughts on the game before we get into our questions.
You know, to be honest with you, this isn't the most annoyed I've been about an athletic performance this season, even though it wasn't good, they lost. But I think there have been draws that I've been more annoyed about than this match, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the Leganés draw, the Eibar draw, the Barcelona draw, those I think were all more annoying than this game was. I mean, I tweeted this a little bit after the game ended when I think Twitter calmed down a bit. A little bit, not so much though. There were a lot of angry members of Atletico Twitter during this game. But considering all the injuries Atleti have had this season, and considering all the kind of funky teams that Cholos had to put out there, it is amazing that it took them until February 3rd to lose a second league game when Barca were at 2 losses 3 months ago.
It is pretty incredible, and I think Atleti honestly were quite unlucky in this match more than anything else, which makes it a lot more easy to rationalize when your team's been unlucky and lost rather than played like shit and scraped a draw or something, if you know what I mean.
You take away the Betis penalty, they had 0.3 expected goals in this game.
Exactly.
0.3. Jimenez and Lucas didn't make a single clearance, but Betis still had 0.3 expected goals anyway. Atletico had 0.55, which isn't really good enough, but when you hold your opponent to that low of an expected goals number, sans penalty, then you're doing something right. And yeah, Atleti were...
Well, and I mean, you could just add the 0.75 or whatever it is for a penalty to Atleti, had they gotten the penalty.
Yes, and that's actually our first question from Colt Schnero Chat Amigo, Zach Drisco. He has a few questions, actually. His first one is, was that a penalty against Morata, and were you bitter about it? Rob, you go first.
I'm always bitter about penalties. if it's my team, then I always think it is a penalty. So I find it hard to be sort of objective. I think it was a penalty. I think it would have been a little bit harsh, but I think it was, especially considering the handball that was given just a few minutes after. So considering that,
it was a penalty.
These things happen.
I think it was a penalty, but normally you don't. If you complain about the referees and saying how they robbed you, you probably didn't play well enough in the first place. You know what I mean?
You sound like a Real Madrid fan, basically.
Shut up.
Is what you're getting at there.
No, but I thought it was a penalty. I thought it was pretty clear. The fact that it didn't even go to VAR was a little absurd. Fedal clearly took down Morata, didn't get the ball. Clearly stomped on his foot and knocked him over in the box. That's, I think, a textbook penalty. I would be upset that it didn't go to VAR. That's what would upset me the most.
That was what I was just about to say. Yeah, I find that more egregious than them not giving the penalty. I feel like it would have been more acceptable if they'd gone to VAR and then ruled it not a penalty. I would have felt more, you know, satisfied with that. But, yeah, to not go to VAR is weird. I feel like La Liga's had a very weird introduction here to VAR, and there's situations where they don't quite know when to use it, and there's obvious situations where they should but don't. So it's been a weird introduction.
It's been very, very stop start, and this is not the first time a call has gone against Atletico this season, but you know,
I mean, all it takes really for a fan base is you get one VAR call against you and then you're against it forever, basically.
Right, that's it. That's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable, but it happens. That's the thing with VAR. You roll the dice. Sometimes it's going to come up in your favor. Sometimes it isn't. But I'd rather have it than not.
Second question. Any idea why Santiago Arias came off at halftime? Didn't seem like it was an injury. Felipe Luis replaced him, which in hindsight wasn't such a great decision. Looked like it was just a tactical shift for Cholo to get Felipe some game time after being out for 2 months. That's all that looked like. There was no parte medico. There was no medical report on Arias, so we can assume that he is A-okay.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't it?
You don't really see Cholo substitute a defender unless there's an injury.
Absolutely. And I wonder, I sort of think it actually comes more from Juan Fran's mighty struggles on the left more than it comes from Arias being poor on the right. Juan Fran looked pretty bad at left back, which is understandable. And you bring on Felipe Luis to sort of do that job instead. But I thought Arias played pretty well. I mean, he wasn't great, but he wasn't, like, awful. Wouldn't deserve him getting dragged off at halftime without an injury.
Yeah, I don't think Atletico went to him or his side very much. He and Correa were basically isolated in that first half. A lot of Atleti's buildup was through the left with Juan Fran and with Tomas Lemar, who we're also going to talk about Lemar in just a minute. We have some frustrated Colchonero chat amigos regarding one Tomas Lemar. Third question from Zach. Should Vitolo be a must in the starting 11? I feel like any time I see him play, he creates danger more than Atleti's other wingers. I believe he should be. I believe he should be starting for Correa or Lemar.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for weeks. I think we're on the same page on this one. I think in this game I would have much rather seen Vitolo than Correa. Correa was fine, but he didn't add much. I think Vitolo is, every time he comes on, like the question was asked, he adds something to the team.
Yeah.
Correa, his biggest knock is that he goes missing. Vitolo doesn't really do that as much. Vitolo will at least do something.
I agree. Vitolo will draw fouls. He's versatile. He's got good on-ball skill. His change of pace. I think Vitolo should be starting. And who knows, maybe... I mean, last season at the Bernabeu, Cholo just dumped Vitolo into the 11 with very little warning. He might do that again this year at the Wanda.
Yeah, true. Very true.
He could.
I think that would be the right decision. I mean, I know he hasn't played a lot, but he's played a lot off the bench, so I feel like he's more than ready.
Anders Sorensen has a couple questions for us as well. What is up with Felipe Luis? I think he is not contributing much offensively, and he makes costly mistakes defensively. I can answer this one. I think Felipe Luis is finished. at 33 years old, coming off a broken leg. I think he's finished at the top level.
I mean, you add in the age, the injury, and the fact that he's played for Atleti for so long. His body is going to be a little messed up.
The fact that it's totally understandable. The fact that he now has a ponytail,
that he's had this fall off.
The fact that he now, you know, has a ponytail, too, instead of letting his hair down.
Oh, God. Oh,
not a good look.
That actually may have been the beginning of the end.
I also,
no, yeah, he's old.
I also think Felipe hasn't been quite as motivated this season, considering he didn't get his move to PSG over the summer, mostly because he asked for it in the last 2 weeks of the transfer window. Smart move. I don't think he's been totally motivated this season, considering that, and considering that Lucas has supplanted him as Atleti's primary left back.
Yeah, and I think, I'm trying to remember who it was that said it. I think it was one friend when he was asked about sort of his contract for next season. He was like, oh, we'll give it all, and the old guys, me and Felipe and whatever. But I don't really feel like Felipe, at least when Juanfran plays, you get the feeling he's really giving it everything he's got left in the tank. But Felipe, it's been a little lacking.
Yeah, Felipe, I would be absolutely shocked if he came back. I think it's extremely unlikely. It's not going to happen. I think he's going to go on a free this summer.
I would think so, yeah.
Anders continues saying, it also highlights the issue with Johnny. We need to buy defenders in the summer no matter what. Could this not have been arranged so that Atleti could have kept Johnny and still signed Morata? Well, we talked about this a little bit, I think, on the last bonus pod for Amigos, where Atleti had to sell no matter what to get to get Morata. Because of La Liga's really strict wage limit rules, their spending rules, their budget rules. Atleti had to get rid of at least one and two, possibly two. They did get rid of two players in order to bring in Alvaro Morata, who was an express request of Simeone's. So Gelson was one. That was a pretty obvious one. He was going to leave no matter what, considering he didn't get much playing time. But the second one was between Johnny and Kalinic. Atleti were still paying Johnny's wages while he's been on loan at Wolves. And Kalinic hasn't been all that impressive. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been that impressive. Cholo wanted to keep Kalinic, despite interest from Betis, from Valencia, from Spurs. Cholo wanted to keep him, per the reports, which meant Johnny was the odd man out, and he has now signed a permanent deal with Wolves, and it's very strange. The whole thing is, Johnny's entire saga was very, very strange.
Yeah, I'm still quite annoyed about that. Much in the same way I'm still annoyed about the Diego Jota thing. Both going to Wolves, both Jorge Mendes clients. You can draw your own conclusions there. But I think the thing with Kalinic is, I don't think Atleti really would have gotten much of a significant fee for him. I mean, the teams linked with him are pretty small. And I don't know if the price really would have been right for him. Certainly he was the guy that Atleti preferred to sell, but I just don't think a deal really ever materialized.
There's the Arsenal fan in you calling Spurs small.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, it's a reflex. I mean, he's, you know, in his past he's played for Blackburn Rovers, a team that's won more things than Spurs, so.
Yikes.
More Premier League titles. I mean, come on.
Wow.
It's just bad, guys.
Wow. Shout out Venkies. Shout out Blackburn.
Shout out Blackburn.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's move on to Alex Elliott. Shout out Alex Elliott. He is a $5 patron, so he gets a shout out on the show. He has a couple questions for us. Can Atletico catch the unstoppable force that is Barcelona? And if Atletico do, who or what will be the defining factor? Rob?
Whew, yeah, big shout out, because that's the big question, isn't it, really? I mean, I think it seems the big thing, I think, is Simeone beating his track record of losing every time he, or not winning every time he plays against Barcelona, his team does. I think that'll be the big thing. It does seem as if they're unstoppable in that they have the amount of depth players to sort of come up in these big moments and get a win or a draw for them. But, you know, I'm just not feeling it with this Barcelona team. I didn't last season either, and we saw how that turned out. But, yeah. You know, I don't know. They look unstoppable at times, but I'm totally not sold on them yet.
Yeah, wasn't sold last year either, and then they went out and put up one of the greatest seasons anyone's ever seen in La Liga.
And Paulinho was like their second best player, and then they ship him back off to China. Like,
yeah, I still
what's
have
going on there.
I still have questions about that deal. I still have lots of questions.
Yeah, there's some outstanding questions there. He did perform well for Barcelona, though.
He did.
It would have been way more suspect if he had been awful.
Yes. And now Vidal has replaced him as that strange signing that shouldn't really be there, but is anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Barcelona's a weird team at the moment. From my perspective, I sort of feel like ever since the Pep era, it's just been a bit weird around Barcelona. Obviously, they had the tragedy with the manager that got cancer, and then they had to bring in Tata after that, the season Atleti won the title. But, man, I don't know. I'm not seeing it. I mean, Messi's going to carry this team, and without an injury to him, I don't see how they win it, though.
Yeah, you don't really need depth when you have Leo Messi. That's kind of where I start and finish the conversation, is that Atleti are now six points behind Barca. A win on Sunday would have put them three behind Barca and would have made this very, very interesting. But you're 6 points back now, and you still have to go to Camp Nou and play them. You still have a derby next weekend, which is nowhere near a guarantee, even though it's at home. Nowhere near a guarantee. I know Barca have, two Clásicos coming up, and they have the Champions League. But actually, three Clásicos coming up in the next month. Shoot me. Plus the Champions League. Barca are just, every year, they are so strong domestically. You need luck. You need someone like Messi to go down, or you need them to hit, go into that run of form that they went into in September, October, early November, which doesn't happen to them often at all. I think this is probably done now. I know there's 16 weeks to go, and these two teams will play each other head-to-head again. I think this might be done now, though. Atleti missed another huge chance on Sunday. You don't get many chances like that served to you on the silver platter, and they had one, and they kind of just threw it away.
I mean, Atleti would have to have a monster second half of the season at this point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, someone like
Morata, in order to win the title.
Someone like Morata would have to be that defining factor that Alex asks about.
Right. Right. Yeah. Morata combined with how good Griezmann's been this season, and even the comeback of Diego Costa. If those three things work out, then Atleti, they have a chance. But, it's not looking great at this point.
His second question, do you think Morata, speaking of, will integrate into this team, or will he be long gone by this time next year? Let's actually talk about how...
That's a great question.
Let's talk about how Morata did on Sunday. Inconclusive. I wrote in my ratings it was kind of inconclusive. Won a lot of headers, took a lot of shots, was very aggressive, didn't look totally out of place. His partnership with Grizzy was a little clunky at times, but this is their first game together. Morata played all 90 minutes. He looked like he was in good physical shape. That being said, I think a little inconclusive still. I want to see more.
I think inconclusive but positive ultimately is where I sort of landed on it, because I thought he played well. I thought he showed flashes of what we expected of him, and I think given that it was his first match, we can't really expect him to hit a hat trick. I mean, he's not Leo Messi. He's Morata. He's a solid player. But I think Atleti can get the best out of him. But the question is great, because I think it could totally go either way come next summer, or this summer, rather.
I agree. It really, in a year from now, we could be talking about Morata as Atleti's best January signing of the decade, or we could be talking about him as, hey, remember Alvaro Morata?
Yeah, the next Mandzukic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really could go either way, but I like what I saw, most of what I saw on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to seeing him score in the derby next week.
I would put a strong bet on that happening.
Against,
he tends to score against Real Madrid.
Against his old team, I would bet on it.
Absolutely. I think that I'm quite looking forward to this derby kind of quietly. I feel like Real Madrid have been, like you say, inconclusive in the last few weeks. They've had some okay results and some bad results, but they haven't looked great. So I think this is a big chance here. And if Atleti don't win this match, then it's over the title race.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Real Madrid will jump Atletico if they win.
Yes, true. But even a draw doesn't help anything.
Nope. Got to be a win. Abdul Malik Arhalboa is next up. He says, "Hi, guys. Long time. What a frustrating game it was. Instead of closing up with Barca, we made the derby next week for second place. Anyway, do you agree that Tomas Lemar is just a more expensive Nico Gaitán? With Lemar and Morata's money, we could have easily bought much better and cheaper league prospects with the likes of Maxi Gomez or Sergio Canales, who scored the penalty on Sunday, or many others. I don't see any other player coming from outside La Liga and turning out to be a decent player." Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Because I get the point that you don't really want to spend too much money, and I think Atleti are kind of caught between two worlds at the moment, sort of in between the Barcelona Real Madrid universe and the best of the rest, basically, in terms of spending. So I understand why they did it, going out big for Morata and Tomas Lemar. I still have hope for Tomas Lemar. I still think he'll be good, but I've seen more out of him than I ever did of Nico Gaitán, let me put it that way. But I think his role in the system needs to change. It's clearly not working, and it hasn't worked for a few weeks now. So his role needs to adapt, I think, if he's going to stay in this team long term.
I think it's both down to him, and it's down to Simeone not really giving him the freedom that he needs. He's trying. Cholo wants him to be the next Arda Turan, and he's not the next Arda Turan. He needs more freedom, but at the same time, I just haven't been that impressed with him. Like, he does some nice things on the ball. His range of passing is pretty good, but I haven't seen the end product other than that win over Getafe when he scored both goals. Just the end product hasn't really been there. It hasn't really impressed me all that much what he can do on the ball. I think there needs to be a kind of a shift in role, or else he's got to be challenged more by Vitolo, Correa. I would say Gelson, but Gelson is now gone, sadly.
Yeah. I think Tomas Lemar clearly won that battle between himself and Gelson. Clearly he was the more expensive player, but I think more than that, I think Simeone liked him more just because he's willing to do the hard work. But like you say, the end product just really hasn't been there. I mean, he works hard for the team, but in the final third, he hasn't been able to produce as much, which is a bit concerning.
And with the Gaitán comparison, he's already made more starts this season than Gaitán made in his whole Atleti career.
That's true. Yeah, I think he's certainly better than Gaitán, although vastly more expensive.
I'm better than Gaitán was.
Yeah, Gaitán was not so good.
It's hard to say that Lemar is a bust, because this is still his first season. He did cost a lot of money, yes, but this is still his first season. I think year two should be a lot different. I think year three, if he's still here, in year three will be a lot different than this. Lemar is still a very young player. I mean, he's 23 years old. He is a World Cup winner. I still want to give him some time, but I do have concerns.
I think the positive for Atleti is that if Lemar doesn't work out, probably, I think, next season, I think they'll try to move on from him, but I still think that they could get some good money for him because he's seen as such a big prospect throughout Europe.
Yeah. And, again, he's won a World Cup. You don't want to dismiss that.
This is true. I mean, I think a lot's been made of Lucas Hernandez winning the World Cup as a left back, but I liked him better as a center back on the weekend, even though they lost. But, we need more from Tomas Lemar.
Justin Kramer has our final three questions. Number one, I know Atletico aren't giving up a ton of goals, but the amount of time being missed and the juggling of the center backs doesn't seem to be helping. I'm sure Godin is worn down from not getting a break during the World Cup and due to his age. In theory, the ideal back line now is Lucas, Jimenez, Godin, and Arias, but will the team get that in time? I'm assuming he means in time for Juve in a little over 2 weeks. Why was Johnny sold? Seems the team needs a left back, especially if Lucas moves inside. We talked about Johnny being sold because of the wage limits. But yeah, will Atleti get that back line healthy in time for Juve?
It doesn't seem like it this season. It just seemed like next man up and then someone else gets injured the same match. Yeah, I don't know. I have very little hope for Atleti's defense staying healthy because we've seen Jose Jimenez get injured many, many times. Juan Fran and Felipe are old. It's tough. It's really tough to see that back line being solid for the rest of the season.
Justin also brings up a pretty decent point here. He was not surprised with Koke and Saul both out of the squad and the team being away. He was not surprised that Atleti didn't get the win on Sunday. I still can't figure out the ideal midfield, as to me, Koke, Saul, Rodri, and Tomas all deserve to play.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's a major headache for Simeone because he doesn't want to change the system, yet he has four quality central midfielders and only two spots to play them in. And we've seen that sort of square peg and round hole throughout this season with Koke playing wide, Saul playing wide and at left back. So it's a struggle, that's for damn sure.
It's part of those the funky formations and the funky slotting of players in holes they don't really belong in that Cholo has had to do several times this season with quite mixed results, even though it's only produced two losses in league play.
I mean, Atleti are going to play 4-4-2 at this point. I mean,
right? Yeah, there's no use.
Our pipe dreams of us playing any more than a two-man midfield are over.
Yeah, like it's not going to happen, guys. This is Cholo's system. This is how it's going to be. It's how it's always been. It's how it's always going to be until he leaves.
I mean, it makes endlessly more sense, but it's not going to happen because this is how Simeone's system works. And that's fine, because it's been quite successful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's at the end of the day.
It's annoying at times.
It is. And at the end of the day, what matters is the results. And the results with this system have been, at times, unbelievably good.
Yes, correct. I'm interested to see how this second half of the season goes, because it sort of seems at this point, I do wonder if Atleti are really focused on that Champions League final in the Wanda.
You mean focused as in, like, that's their singular goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it kind of, I don't know, this league season, even from Simeone's press conferences and stuff, hasn't felt like this, oh, we're going all the way. It sort of felt like, yeah, you know, we're hanging in there.
Yeah, yeah, we're second, we're good with that. I mean, personally, I'm going to keep the expectations low. My expectations for Atletico domestically now are beating Madrid next week and finishing second again. Like, I think that would be successful.
Just finishing above Madrid, basically.
Yeah, beat Madrid and the finish above them. That's a pretty good year. For the second year running, that's a pretty good year.
Absolutely.
Justin's final, well, it's not really a question, it's more of a statement that we can debate here. I hope it isn't too late to figure out the best combination in attack and whichever midfielder wing or wings. So let's start with the best combination in attack, the two strikers atop the 4-4-2.
So it's Griezmann, no question.
Yep, and who's going to be next to him?
And that is the debate. You know, this Diego Costa situation has me very worried.
Me too.
I know he's injured or whatever, but it just doesn't seem right to me. I really want to predict that he's going to come back and be beastly, but I'm not really seeing it happen.
And this is why I would start Morata.
I would agree. It's tough, man.
It is.
Costa was the guy.
Because we love Diego.
And we always will.
Yeah, love him to death, but even when he was fit this season, which, let's be real, he was fit for about four games. Even when fit, he was productive. I'm thinking the Super Cup. I'm thinking that first game against Valencia. And then after that, it was just a steady downhill, you know, steady skiing downhill after that. And he was playing mighty hurt when he scored against Barca and when he made that own goal happen against Girona, like, the next week. He had been playing hurt for a while. So there's no guarantee that Diego is coming back this season. Maybe not ever again, honestly, considering he's about to turn 30. Is he 30? I think he is 30 now, isn't he?
I believe that he is, yeah.
He is 30. Age considered and
injury history considered.
Yeah, history considered. I don't know if we're getting that Diego back, which is why I would start Morata. let him get a run in the team, build his confidence up, give him the run that he needs, the run out he needs to maybe bang in a few goals. I think Griezmann and Morata can work. You and I have talked about that before. I think they can naturally complement each other. Griezmann as the playmaker, Morata as the finisher. Cholo talked about it in a press conference that we now have four different striker profiles. Griezmann, kind of the free, the roaming type who plays with a target man. Diego Costa to run about and cause trouble. Kalinic, the more positional kind of striker. And Morata's the finisher.
Yeah, basically. Basically, yeah. It's interesting. I think I liked what I saw from the Griezmann and Morata combination. I'm interested to see how it goes this weekend because we assume that's going to be the combination. God forbid it's Griezmann and Correa again. But Griezmann and Morata will be interesting to see how it develops.
I'm very, very interested to see how it develops. And I think it could be good. Again, I liked a lot of what I saw against Betis on Sunday. And we will see next Saturday against Real Madrid.
It's the big one.
If he can do it again. If he can maybe come through with a goal. If he can put in another positive performance. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the whole Morata signing thing and his introduction. I know there were sort of sections of the Atletico fan base that weren't too thrilled about him joining, but I think you could see that it was quite meaningful to him to join Atleti, even with his past association with the other team.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hate on him blindly for that.
No, just from his press conference, you could tell that it meant a lot to him to come back. And
I do also enjoy his two very fat-faced twin babies.
Oh, they're adorable.
They are adorable, yeah. I'm into Morata. I'm into it.
And on that note, we shall wrap up this edition of Colt Genero Chat. To our amigos, thank you so much for your questions. We greatly appreciate it, and it gave us 32 minutes of content.
Absolutely. So enjoy that, people. And thank you for the questions.
On that note, Rob, thank you for joining me on this edition of Colt Genero Chat.
A pleasure, as always.
Follow Rob on Twitter at RWalk03. Follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at JBBarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You could subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts, and become a Colt Genero Chat amigo. Get a guaranteed answer to your question at patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. We'll be back later this week to preview the Madrid derby. Until then, adios.